Hey.
I'm Karen Chapman Novakowski, editor in chief of the Journal of Nutrition Education and Behavior, and today I'm talking with Alex McIntosh, the first author of Determinants of Children's Use of and Time Spent in Fast Food and Full Service Restaurants, which will be published in the May-June issue of the journal. His co-authors are Karen Kubina, Vina, Glenn Tolley, Wesley Dean, Mijong Kim, Jisheng Jan, and Jenna Anding. Alex, how are you today?
Just fine, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you so much for being willing to answer a few questions about your article.
Sure, thanks.
So your data showed that the father's perception of dinner as a family ritual was important in determining the time children spent in fast food restaurants. So what is the importance of fathers for children's nutrition?
Okay, well, this is an idea I got some time ago when I started thinking about parents and children's nutrition, and most of the emphasis had been on women, mostly mothers, and it occurred to me that maybe fathers played a role in this. I wasn't sure if it would be positive or negative, but what I've done is to try to, every time I measure something about mothers, measure something about fathers. And I ran across the family meal ritual literature that had focused frequently on mothers and decided to administer that questionnaire to fathers at the same time I was administering it to both mothers and children. And as it turns out, although those three measurements are correlated, in other words, mothers, fathers, and children's importance of the family meal as a ritual, you know, they tend to agree with that. In other words, if one does, the other two are likely as well. But in the analysis, only fathers has the effect on children's use of and time spent in fast food restaurants. And so what this says to me is that while families may be in agreement about the ritual, at least in terms of children's behavior, it's the father's belief in this ritual that counts. And as it turns out, not only does father's belief in this particular ritual have an impact on children's fast food use, basically reducing it, it also leads to children reporting more frequent eating dinner with family at home, more frequent eating lunch with family at home, and finally more frequent eating breakfast at home.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So your data also show that the mother's perception of work was more important than other roles in determining the time children spent in fast food restaurants.
Yes.
Could you elaborate on that a little?
Okay. Well, there's this measure of mother's perception of what role in her life is most important. So an indicator that's been around for a long time, as sociologists have looked at the relationship between work and family. And what this seems to suggest is that women who place higher priority on their work over and above that of family are more likely to have kids who are spending more time in fast food restaurants. And so, you know, that gives the impression that perhaps they're paying less attention or they're less involved in either cooking meals at home or monitoring what their children are actually eating. Now, I will say that we've got lots of other data, and this is the only time where this mother's perception of her work being more important than family has any impact on children's eating behavior or any outcomes of that in terms of dietary quality or even obesity.
I see. So do you think that the family's income had a moderating effect in the importance of the mother's perception of her work?
Yeah, perhaps. I haven't investigated that. We have looked at mothers and fathers' income, and for the most part, the parents' income aren't driving very many of the children's eating behaviors or the outcomes of those eating behaviors.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, and it's part because, you know, this is a sample that was developed by Random Digit Dialing, and to be honest, we basically had more refusals via hang-ups from low-income families than we did from moderate to higher-income families. And so we don't have the range of incomes that the census tells us we should have. And so if that may explain why income is playing less of a role in our data than it does in other data sets.
Yeah, probably true. So do you have any thoughts on what the father's perception of the importance of his work?
Yeah, we basically asked the very same questions of fathers, and that is related to nothing in children. And incidentally, to be fair to the mothers in the study, very few of them basically said that they agreed or strongly agreed with, you know, the questions about work being more important than other roles, including the family.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't a widespread characteristic of the working women in our sample.
So you alluded to a couple of challenges in completing this project, but what would you consider your biggest challenge?
Well, it was the biggest challenge is getting people to agree to participate, and part of it was because we were using the telephone to identify families with children of the right age ranges. As soon as we would call and say, "Hi, we're from Texas A&M," and there would be a click. We got had a telephone center operating for 15 months, 6 days a week.
Oh, my.
And much of that time was spent in recruiting, and then the rest of the time was spent either scheduling interviews or following up with requests to get people to, you know, as it says in the study, we were collecting time diary data. And what that meant was that both the parents and kids had received diaries that they were to maintain at home, and then they were to mail them back to us. The kids were a lot better at getting these back to us than the parents, and so we spent much of the latter part of the 15 months hounding parents to send back their time diaries.
Interesting. That's surprising. The kids were better than the parents.
Well, there's a reason for that. We were paying everybody in this study to participate because of the amount of work we were making them do. We actually offered more money to the children because they had to do more than their parents did. And so there was a motivating factor there. And later on, I learned as I was actually paying parents that many of them, because they wanted to participate to learn more about their children's nutrition, had made a deal with their kids, and that was, if we all participate, we'll give you the money that we would have gotten for participating. And so the kids had actually a greater incentive than we first set out. Many of them were, in essence, going to earn about $65 from their participation and their parents' participation.
Wow, that's a good lesson learned for all of us out here trying to get parents to send back in surveys.
Yes.
Do you think that the use of cell phones had a big influence on your results?
Yes, because as you probably know, an increasing number of people have canceled their landline phone, and we did random digit dialing by buying randomly generated phone numbers from Survey Sampling Incorporated. And what they promise is that they have gone through these random numbers and eliminated those that have never actually been assigned to a household. And, of course, they eliminate work phone numbers and agency numbers and that sort of thing. But the problem with their data is that these don't include cell phone numbers. And so, you know, any household that depended on a cell phone was automatically excluded.
That's an obstacle we're going to have to learn how to overcome, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and I think companies like this one that I mentioned is moving forward by using the same technique that they're using for online surveys, and they're basically generating a data base in terms of people who are willing to be interviewed online. And so they're apparently doing the same thing for people who are willing to be interviewed via cell phone. But, of course, the catch with that is it's not a random sample. It's basically people who self-select into this pool of people. And I've got no experience with that pool of people, but I suspect that not only it's a biased group, but they also probably are expressing willingness because they're expecting payment. And so you would be thrust immediately into having to have a budget that would allow you to pay these people.
Yeah. We have just a few more minutes, Alex. Can you tell me if you're following up on this research? Anything ongoing?
Well, I've got a new project that that is quite different from this. It's basically an intervention project with schools, with school gardening and school cooking lessons, and the idea that the kids is that the kids will take these lessons home and involve their parents in a home garden and get involved with their with whichever parent is cooking, you know, getting involved and helping out one or both parents in cooking. But I, you know, turning back to the study that generated this paper, I tend to, one of the reasons we had to pay people is because we asked for so much data, and so I'll be analyzing these data, to be honest, for another 5, maybe 10 years.
Oh my, well, we look forward to seeing all of those manuscripts at J&EB.
Oh, great. Yeah, we're looking at things like the degree to which father's time spent preparing food influences the mother's time, and it turns out it does. It basically, it's one of the few things that fathers do around the household in our data that has an impact in a positive sense on the time that their wives spend. And in this case, the more time that fathers spend preparing food, the less time that their wives do, and their wives are then using this time for either other household chores or for leisure activities. So those are the kinds of things we're playing around with at the present time.
Sounds great, and thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Well, absolutely. I enjoyed talking about the research.
I think we got it. Okay. I'm gonna check and see. So I should get something.
I think you need to go to here again.
Here?
Yeah. Open panel, maybe.
Didn't I stop?